It's such a privilege to be here, and I'm waiting for my translator to interrupt me, you know. I'm not used to speaking straight in English. This is great. It's fun. The worship is incredible. I just wish the special music could just keep going, you know. You know, sometimes those books, they need one more chapter, and that would be great to hear more music. I'd rather hear y'all than me this morning, that's for sure. But it's a great privilege, and I think in the month of July, y'all sent us an offering, and I said, wow, thank you, Jesus. And I really wanted to come, like Brother Ed was sharing this missionary offering, and thank you all personally. And then everything started happening with, you know, I was following Brother Jim and Pastor Ken on Facebook. I thought, what? And I said, this is not possible. It really shook us because, you know, you expect a distant relative or movie star or somebody to face these challenges, and then when it's somebody you really know, and I look at Ken and Becky as the rock of Gibraltar, you know, they just don't change, they don't move, and all of a sudden they're going through, you know, y'all are going through these challenges, and it's like, wow, I need to get back there and just be with y'all, and it's just a privilege to us. I left America in 1986, bought me a one-way ticket to Northwest Africa, to Ouagadougou. Can y'all say that with me this morning? Ouagadougou. That's encouraging. Maybe y'all need some more. There's another. Watikase Wagi Mamba. In the Maori language. Can y'all say that with me, please, real quickly? Watid. Kase. Wagi Mamba. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Now I feel like I'm at home. But I left with a one-way ticket, and, you know, the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's just a dead scripture until you buy a shoebox or until you buy a plane ticket, you know. And then things just miraculously start happening that you never would believe. In no ways, maybe in way, especially in ways that you wouldn't imagine. And so since I left, my whole life has never been the same. And the Dallas Cowboys have gone downhill ever since I left Dallas. Maybe I should go back there and cheer them on some more. I was a big fan back then. Now I'm more of a fan of different individuals in sports than teams, thanks to Tebow and all these guys. But it's such a privilege to be here and to thank you in person. And, you know, God, like I said, He has miraculously provided for our family, our kids. I have a very low salary. In Switzerland, the minimum wage is about $4,000 a month when you get out of high school per month for just about doing anything. And my salary is way below that, but we live like kings, miraculously. And my kids have been to the best universities in the world. They've been to Columbia and New York and hotel schools and all miraculously. If I could tell you the story, it'd just take too long, but it would inspire you because I believe God wants to do that for each and every one of us. And we have so too often, as Brother Jim was sharing on Facebook last week, we've venerated sports figures or pastors or big shots, when in the Bible, in the heart of the Bible, in Acts chapter 9, I believe it's a model for the church. And the whole theme is church growth. And in that chapter, you see Dorcas, Peter, Paul, and Ananias, a whole chapter right in the center of the book of Acts. And if you go to Italy and visit the Cathedral of St. Dorcas, you won't find it. It doesn't exist because we don't build cathedrals for St. Dorcas. She knitted sweaters. That's what she was, a sweater knitter. And she handed out sweaters to the whole region, something that would keep you warm, something tangible, something you can hang on to. And then she dies. And then the apostle comes to town incognito. Nobody knows who the apostle Peter is. There's no brochures. Come see Brother Wonderful with lightning coming out of his hands. There's no four-colored brochures. The only marketing were sweaters that she had been knitting. And nobody knew Peter. They said, come over here, brother. Somebody has died. And the apostle, we need apostles, but in the proper place. And so Peter comes over and she's raised from the dead. And the whole region comes to Christ. Not because of Peter came to town, but because they all got sweaters and stuff. And so that's really been the testimony of our life. We just simply followed the word of God, and God started showing up and doing miracles. And He has provided for our family, for our housing, cars, whatever, food, clothes, miraculously. And the money that y'all have sent, we have been able to do ministry with. And you all are one of our only supporters, believe it or not. We don't have much. But like I was telling Ed, or I forget who, with $200, I can go to Lebanon. And I went this year, since I've seen you again, I've been back to Lebanon and to Athens and to Albania, which was completely closed to the gospel, and preaching to people, first-generation Christians. Never that whole country was shut up to the gospel. And then I went to Nice, France, where you got all these rich and famous people, but you also got some hungry, unknown people who want to know the Word of God. And this is all new to us. We've been in the French part. We started a church in Lausanne, Switzerland for 15 years, and then we moved to Paris, France, and that's when Stephanie came. And where's Stephanie? Oh, back here. Stephanie came, and she saw what we were doing out on the streets in Paris, just playing. It was just amazing. And God just keeps doing things. When we started that church in Paris, once again, just obeying the Word of God, we had a guitar player. His hair came down to here. I couldn't see. He was 14. Nice kid. I couldn't see his eyes. He was looking at my daughter the whole time. I didn't know that. So we all want to find a spouse, or we want this or that. Well, go start a church. And God gave a son-in-law to us, you know. And now they're married. They've been married 5 years. They're playing in the church band, and he just got his master's in some math that I can't figure out. He wanted me to proofread his master's thesis. I did really good on the introduction, but as soon as you got these algorithms and stuff, like, what is this, man? These charts and graphs and things, and it's complicated. But in French, you'd say premièrement, deuxièmement, troisièmement. And so he writes his master's thesis, firstly, secondly, thirdly. I said, that's not going to work. You know, we're going to change this, make it sound a little better than this. But so he got his master's. And so God has provided all these things. But then it's with just loving God and obeying him. And then these gifts that you receive. Y'all sent this gift, 700 francs, right before I went to Beirut. And you go to Beirut, and this brother's church, it's 70% Muslim. You come into the church, or 60% Muslim. You come to the church, you feel like you're in a mosque. Everybody's Muslim, got their heads covered, the burqas and everything. And I saw 20 Muslim young men get baptized there. And they got big tears coming out of their eyes. It wasn't some cool thing that the youth group was doing that weekend. These guys were really risking their lives to be baptized. And out on the streets, I saw Christians from South Carolina, whatever, passing out tracts, getting people born again, Muslim people born again left and right. And this is happening all across the Middle East. They can't show it on Fox News or CNN. That's not what they do. But God is doing things that you don't see on the news. Amazing things. This makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. Is this like the prophet said it would be? The Spirit of God is moving all over the world. And it's incredible. Through a shoebox, we go down to Walmart and put a doll in, and we're changing a nation. God has made it like that. It's incredible. So the church in Montreux, we've been there 6 years. After Paris, we went to Annecy. It's another lake, mountain lake in France on the border. And there's two churches there now that have started. I was just there last weekend, and it's going incredibly. The churches are all flourishing. There is revival, and it's amazing. And you look at the news here, and it looks like all of Europe is, you know, gone to pot. But Europe is really, there's amazing things happening in Europe. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you so much for your support. It means a lot. It means so much to us. You're coming here to worship him, but you're changing the world. That's how God ordained it, that we would change the world just through worshiping him, sewing sweaters together, and just loving people. Amen? So that's where we're at. The church in Montreux is finally coming together after 6 years. We still don't have a team. I'm setting up the sound equipment, and we're meeting in a hotel, a very nice hotel, 5-star hotel, right on Lake Geneva. If you're ever on vacation, come in there and pray with us. And bring some friends. We had my French teacher from South Carolina shows up in Paris with a group of 16 people, and she comes to our church, and she's in tears. And says, I had no idea, you know, this would happen by teaching French. Some of you might be teaching in schools. And I got saved in that French class, and God called me right there. And so it's nothing spectacular. It's something supernatural, but not really spectacular. Amen? Amen. So that's a little bit of an update. I'd be happy to, if anybody had any questions about what's going on over there or afterwards. I did have a word I wanted to share with y'all. And maybe I could stand up before we get into the word and we'll just pray again. Because we need God's help. Amen?
Amen?
We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we can't do much without him.
Amen.
And so, Father, we ask you for your help right now. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you lead us into all the truth. I just pray right now you'd open up our eyes and change the way we think and the way we see you in our lives right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 through 10. And maybe start with 1 Peter. It's right next door. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. I want to talk to you about redemption because it's the theme of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the theme of the Bible is redemption. If we open up the Bible and we don't see God is reaching out to me, God is seeking me right now, then we're misinterpreting the Bible. And it's a miracle. 50 authors over a period of 1,500 years written on every continent of the world, and they all come up with the same theme. Every single book in the Bible, the theme is redemption. God is looking for you and me. Even after you're a Christian, not just before you're a Christian. We think, oh yeah, God sought me and found me, now I'm a Christian, he puts me on the shelf. No, the theme is redemption. Before and after being a Christian. Amen? From the moment that Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, God was planning a way to get us back. No, it's not right. Before Adam and Eve ate that fruit. Before Satan fell. Before sin entered the picture. The Christ, Jesus, was crucified before the foundations of the earth. Before you went to high school. Before you ever made mistakes. Before you ever were successful. Jesus was crucified for you and me. He redeemed us. He purchased us back. Every Muslim belongs to Jesus right now. Every homosexual, every Texan, whatever, whoever. We all belong to God. We have to accept it. Yeah, we must repent. Yeah, we must receive it or we don't go to heaven. But he paid the price for every single situation we will ever face in our life. Nothing is bigger. Nothing can come against you and I that God has not provided in advance for. And we think, oh man, this is impossible. This situation is just dire. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I had a couple leave my church, want to leave our church last week, and I was just like, I want to pull my hair out. And then, oh, but Pastor Ken, he went through brain surgery. That gave me perspective. Oh, yeah, but Jesus, he was on a cross. That makes brain surgery look like nothing. Especially when you see he was raised from the dead. And so we have been redeemed before the foundations of the earth. Look in 1 Peter. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 1? Verse 19 and 20. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before the foundations of the earth. And then even this morning in the worship, we were singing the song of the redeemed. That comes from the book of Revelation. There was a special song for those who are redeemed. Look in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 through 10. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. You are sitting next to a king or queen or a priest. He has made you and I kings and priests in the earth. Do we realize that? I have been redeemed. Yeah, but I'm in this job. You don't understand my body. You're redeemed. You'll understand. I've been married 31 years. I'm redeemed. My wife is redeemed from me. No. We are all redeemed from the situations that we find ourselves in. We have been redeemed and purchased to be kings and priests. We have redemption. We have it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in Colossians 1:14, it says, we have redemption. We have it now. And the Holy Spirit is like an engagement ring. He is the guarantee that we have been redeemed. Who has the Holy Spirit here? Does anybody have the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, temperance, kindness, goodness, self-control. We've got the Holy Spirit, plus the gifts. We have the presence of God. It's just the engagement ring. He's just the down payment. He's the proof that we have been redeemed. So wherever we find ourselves, we say, I have been redeemed. I have it. It's in my spirit. Now, if you look at my body, my nose is a little crooked. My legs in heaven will be a little bit longer. Amen. We're... We understand each other, man. It says in Romans 8, verse 24, and in Ephesians 1:14, that we're waiting for the redemption of our bodies. So we don't have that full redemption. We're not walking around in immortal bodies. We're waiting, we're longing, we're looking forward to it. It's something we look forward to. One day we will be changed and our bodies will put on immortality. So redemption in our bodies is coming. Amen? And then there's a huge tension in between our minds and our spirits. Because I have that redemption in my spirit. But in my mind, I feel reprobate often. And there's a tension. Especially when I drive my car in traffic. Where I was waiting in customs in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm sitting there, oh man. And I come in there and they don't have as many guards as they should. Or many agents. And the line is just humongous. And I got 30 minutes to catch my next flight. And then Bonnie Whitaker puts on Facebook, God is in the waiting. I said, oh, thank you, Bonnie. That's very nice. God is in the waiting. And you're sitting there waiting in customs. And never forget that one. God is in the waiting. Well, we're waiting for the day that our bodies were redeemed. But then in our minds, the redemption, to be redeemed from fear, from depression, to be redeemed from these things which daily come against all of us as we're knitting our sweaters. It happens. In Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, it speaks about our redemption. And it says that Jesus redeemed us once for all time. He redeemed us with an eternal redemption. Not just during summer camp. Not just during a conference. Not just at church on Sunday. He has redeemed us eternally. He paid the price once and for all. In the Old Testament, once a year they'd do it. And every time it would remind you, oh yeah, I was stupid this year. But Jesus did it once and for all. Why? To erase sin from our even thought life. But we need to have our minds renewed to that. Remember that. That we have been redeemed from sin. Before we ever sinned, He paid the price for our sin. Before we ever were in depression, He paid the price for it. God has never said, uh-oh. I've never seen a situation like this. I don't know how I'm going to get Mark out of this line in Charlotte Airport. It's just horrible. He's got to catch that next flight in 30 minutes. He paid the price before I ever took the plane. My future is assured in His blood. I have been redeemed, not with money, but by the precious blood of Jesus. I've been born again by an incorruptible seed. Of the Word of God. I'm fickle. I change. But the Word of God does not change. And that is my spiritual DNA. This is where I have been born again from His life. From the life of God. But I have tension with my mind. What I see on the news. What I see on the streets. And what I see in the Bible. But in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 2. It says that this redemption will create in us. It will erase consciousness of sin. I heard of this one girl. She was molested sexually by her grandfather from the day she was 4 years old until she was 14. And the family, well, what happened was she got born again. And when she got born again, she was totally set free. If you were God, would you totally set her free? If you were God? Would you set this girl free? She had nothing to do with it. It wasn't her fault. Is that right? Well, she was totally set free. And she told her parents about her grandfather. And they kicked the grandfather out of the house. Which, I don't know, whatever. But then they told the girl, you're going to go for counseling, this and that. She says, well, I'm free. And I said, no, you're marked for life. You have to have special treatment. And she said, no, it's like it never happened. I'm telling you, I'm born again. They said, you're in denial. No, I'm free. I've been born again. And they kicked her out of the house when she was 15 years old because she wouldn't hate her grandfather. Now, I'm not saying there aren't consequences for him. I agree with the parents, whatever. But as far as she is concerned, she was redeemed from that whole situation. And God can do that. Amen. And the blood of Jesus is enough to heal her. And if maybe you're not like that girl, maybe you still struggle. Well, there's counseling. We should give counseling. But more powerful than any pastor, more powerful than any psychiatrist is the blood of Jesus. And it's the only solution in the long term anyway. So why not start right there, knowing in my spirit I have redemption from this abuse. I have redemption. And then we have to deal with it in our minds and in our bodies. Okay. But it will the beginning of the end of that abuse will start knowing I have been redeemed. Singing that song, I am redeemed. You know, when we started our first church in Lausanne, I was fresh out of Bible school, like Pastor Ken said, and after 2 months, I preached everything I knew. I had a bunch of dead notes from school, but I preached everything I knew. And so I went to the largest bookstore, Christian bookstore in Europe. It was in Germany, up in Bonn or something like this. And the guy, he was a pastor for 50 years. I said, he'll know what to tell me. And it was his son I knew. And I went there with his son, and he was in there, the older gentleman. And so I looked him out, and I said, before I saw him, before I spoke to him, I said, I know what he's going to tell me. He's going to tell me the Bible's all I need. This whole big bookstore, give me something to preach. I knew he was going to tell me that. And I walked up to him, what would you give a young pastor to? I don't know how to preach anymore. He said, son, all you need is the Bible. I said, yeah, I knew you're going to tell me that. I need something for this Sunday, man. Come on. And so he told me, he said, son, just preach redemption. Just preach redemption. And he told me, go to Psalms 103. Let's go there, please. Psalms 103. Just preach redemption. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Who could use some renewal right now? Amen. Satisfies your mouth with good things, crowns you with loving kindness, who redeems you. This is the kind of stuff David and they would meditate on. I'm redeemed. You can go through the whole chapter or look over in Psalms 107. What does it say? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it. Say, I'm redeemed. So that's the first thing to really get it, to really experience the redemption. Say it. You don't know how, you don't know when, but you say, I am redeemed. You find yourself in a weird situation. I'm redeemed from this. I am redeemed. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but I know that God has redeemed me. Amen. Say it. Let the redeemed say so. Say, I am redeemed. Amen. I'm redeemed. Especially when you don't know how you're going to get out of it. If you don't know if it's ever going to change. Just say it. Say, I'm redeemed. Go to bed and let that seed, the spiritual seed, work in your heart while you're sleeping even. Just say it. As far as the east is from the west, he has separated our sins from us. In Psalms 107, if you continue through the whole chapter, it just tells you, I don't know, five or six different dire situations where people go sailing and the waves take them to the heavens and then they drop them down to the bottom of the earth. And the professional sailors lose hope and they cry out to God. And God brings peace to the sea and takes them to their desired havens. He sends his word and he heals them. He turns the desert into springs. One time after another, seven times it says, oh, that men would see the goodness of the Lord and give thanks. The whole chapter about redeeming us in all kinds of different situations. Redeeming us in sickness. Redeeming us in failed adventures. Redeeming us from thirst and hunger for purpose in life. It's a whole chapter. Whole chapters about redemption. The whole Bible is about redemption. So we have to renew our minds. How many of you ever heard about renewing your mind? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You know, the least we can do is present our bodies as living sacrifices and not be conformed to the world around us, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? That's chapter, verse 1 and 2. Verse 3 is what? The sign of someone who has his mind renewed. It says, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. And I don't think he's saying, don't be snobbish, don't be prideful. I don't think that's what he's saying. Don't be selfish. I think what he's saying is, don't think of your problem higher than the redemption that God has provided for you. Because many times we think of our situation as being higher than the redemption that God has already provided. When Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to bringing down strongholds and every high and vain and lofty thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Knowing God will get you out of every single situation. Redemption. It comes through saying it, I'm redeemed. And then having our minds renewed to the fact that his redemption is greater than my abuse. His redemption is greater than my rejection. His redemption is greater than my past, my education. His redemption is greater than any need I will ever have. It's greater than death itself. Amen. And the third thing we can do is get a new vision. In Luke, I think it's 21. Luke 21, verse 28, it says, when you see all these things happening on the earth, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, when you see these things happening, lift up your eyes, raise your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. And if you do a big word study on that scripture, it's not saying good Christians walk around with their heads up and their eyes up. It's talking about getting a new vision for your life. When all these things, maybe you won't ever see wars or, you know, earthquakes. But in your life, if you have an earthquake in your life, or if you're in a spiritual war in your life, Jesus is saying, when that happens, get a new vision. See yourself redeemed from the situation. Many people's hearts will fail them when they see these things. But if we say it, I'm redeemed, if we renew our minds, if we get a new vision of how I'm going through this, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from this. Amen. Then we start experiencing redemption. It can pass us by if we just have our heads down and our hands in our pocket. But if we lift up our eyes, if we say it, if we renew our minds, I'm redeemed. I'm telling you, I'm redeemed. I'll finish up with just two scriptures here. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, he gave himself that he might redeem us. This is why he went to the cross. This is why he's raised from the dead, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the purpose of the cross. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. Redemption is the theme of the Bible. And what one of the most simple definitions of redemption, it's the releasing effect and liberation that comes by the payment of a ransom. If you were held hostage by sin or by sickness or by poverty, if you were held hostage by these things and someone demanded a payment and that payment was made, the releasing effect, the liberation that comes by the payment of a ransom. And that's what the cross is all about. Jesus paid the price for you and me. Before the foundation of the earth, he paid the price for Israel, the whole country, and for every generation, for 2019, for 2020, the price has been paid already in advance, more than enough. Amen. He didn't pay just enough. He paid more than enough. And I think one of the greatest ministries in America now is counseling, you know, Celebrate Recovery. And I think pastors and psychologists are great, but only on this foundation, that the price has already been paid. In counseling and pastors, we should be bringing people's eyes back to the fact that the blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance, the most powerful, what do you call different currency. It's the most powerful currency for any ransom to be paid. Amen. So in any impossible situation in your life, marriage, you know, we have had a wonderful marriage, and I am so thankful to God. But it can be tough in marriage. You know, they don't prepare you for that. Everybody talks about the honeymoon, but they don't prepare you for the long haul. But we're redeemed from that long haul. We go through it, but we go through it redeemed. Amen? Teenagers, I hear all the time, terrible twos, or, yeah, my kids are teenagers. Man, we are redeemed from that stuff. We have great kids, incredible kids. They have the same questions. My middle daughter, she's in university around a bunch of, you know, all kinds in Europe. It's just crazy, the immorality, and there's no moral compass really in Europe. And so she's dealing with people all the time, and she's having to navigate her faith, and it's working. She was with me last week. And she says, "Dad, that was incredible. What we saw in the Word of God." And it just answers so many questions when we realize, man, I have been redeemed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, say it. Renew your mind and get a vision of being redeemed. Amen. Thank you guys so much.